1 John chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Verse 5 says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one." John is closing his letter to his believing brothers and sisters. His closing theme really seems to be victory. He's covered a lot of ground, but his closing theme seems to be victory. We have won. Our faith in Jesus Christ has made us victorious. Now John, having seen Jesus, having walked with him and talked with him, laid his head on Jesus' chest, the Bible tells us. He understands that what Jesus wanted then, and I believe, folks, what he wants now is that we believe in him without reservation. That we believe in him without reservation. When we believe in the God of the Bible and the works that he has done and the promises that he has made to us, we become children of God, the Bible tells us. Men and women, boys and girls, adopted into God's family and given all rights and privileges to enter into God's glory with him. John has addressed Christian living from every aspect. How we honor God, how we are to serve him, how we are to love him, how we are to love others, how we are to share our faith with unbelievers in love, how we're to support one another, loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. All these things he summarized for us, I think, in 1 John 1, 4 and 7. I can read that for you, but let's take a look at that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that which we have heard of him." I really think a lot of it summarizes in verse 4. He says, "I'm writing all of these things to you guys so that you might be victorious, so that your joy may be full." Because that's where the fullness of joy really is, at rest in what we know of Christ. He says, "This then," verse 5, "is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." That's 1 John chapter 1. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's victorious living. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. He wants us, I believe, to live victoriously here in preparation, get this, in preparation for living victoriously for eternity with him. This is only practice. This is only practice. And I tell you what, I got a little happy just thinking about that, that this is only practice for the real thing. Amen. And you know, you can have joy in practicing, but the real joy comes when the real thing really gets there. You know, and you just think about it, you know, whether you've been practicing in a choir, you're practicing on the piano, you're practicing to do a special song, you're practicing a skit, you're practicing whatever it is. You know, practice, you can have some fun in practice, but when it comes to the real thing, when it comes to the performance of the real thing, that's where the real joy happens. Well, this is just practice for the true victory that we're going to have in Jesus. So God says, get it on, get started. Get started right now, so that you'll be prepared for what it really means to be victorious in Christ. So, we're getting ready. And I believe that John is ending this letter with a little bit of what to expect when you're expecting. That's the counsel that he's given to us. And as believers, what are we expecting? We're expecting to see Christ. Amen?
Amen.
To see our faith finally become sight. John assures us that we will see him, for he is our victor. He is the overcomer. He is our redeemer. And those are my 2 points for today, that Jesus is our overcomer. And Jesus is our redeemer. As we wait in great expectation for what God is going to do for us as believers. Let's look first of all at Jesus, our overcomer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 again, he says, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, John reestablishes over and over again that faith in Christ is the key to victory. Faith in Christ is the key to victory. Without faith in Christ, we are nothing. Without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. That's got to be the first thing. So we got to believe. So who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, John was inspired, I think, to record the same sentiment in John chapter 3, verses 33 through 36. Let's flip over there and take a look at that. John chapter 3, page 781 in your pew Bibles. John knew, based on his testimony of hearing the words of Christ, that there was but one way to get to God, and that was through Jesus Christ, his Son. John chapter 3, verse 33, page 781 in your pew Bibles. Here's what the Bible says. "He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." So that's faith right there. Who is he that overcometh the world? Only him that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So John writes here that he that hath received the testimony of Christ hath set to his seal that God is true. Now, for all of those who want to deny that Jesus is the Son of God, but still want to call themselves believers in God, want to say that they are Christians, I don't know how they can do that if they've ever read the Word of God. Because the Bible says first thing you got to do is you got to declare that the testimony of Christ is true. Amen. That he says he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. He said, when you have done that, you have set to your seal that God is true. When you do the opposite of that, what do? Then you set to your seal that God is a liar and that you have no part in him. Verse 34 says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So then, how do we overcome the world? We overcome the world through Jesus Christ, our overcomer. He is the way maker. And I love the way we're going to spend a lot of time in John today. And this has really inspired me to go back and read John again, because I really love the way that John convinces us through his writing that Jesus is enough, that Jesus is all that we need. He says here in 1 John chapter 5, go back there again in your bulletin, verse number 6, he says, all right, it's us, the ones who overcome the world are the ones that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Then he makes a statement in verse 6, he said, "This is he that came by water and blood," talking about Christ, "even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." He says he came by water and blood. He said it was Jesus who came not by water only, but again by water and blood. Now John the Baptist came before Jesus' public ministry began, and he came declaring Christ. And he came baptizing with water. Now let's see how John recorded the account of John the Baptist in John chapter 1, page 779. You're still in John. John chapter 1. Page 779 in your pew Bibles, beginning at verse number 15. John the Baptist was one who came. He came by water, but not by blood. John chapter 1, verse 15 says, "John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now John is coming, and there had been no talk, no real talk about who Jesus Christ was. He had not yet come and made himself known to the people, but John here declares that Jesus was before him, stating that Jesus has no beginning and he has no end. He says, And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Now you think about what John told us in his writing in 1 John. He says, we write these things unto you so that your joy might be full. So that your joy might be full. So that you might know really what it is that God is trying to say to you about himself. So that you might be drawn into a closer relationship. And now John writes, as he records the writings of John the Baptist, that John says, We have received the fullness of God. We have received all that God has given to us through the Word of God about His Son. He says, and we're going to get grace for grace. He says he's going to give us freely of his grace. God is going to set us free from all things, and he's going to now administer to us his grace. And verse number 17 says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now he's telling us that God is bringing about a new testament, that God is bringing about a new and a living way. He says, I'm going to send to you a true victor. And you're going to be able to overcome through your faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 18, he says, No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they ask him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Well, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He said, Make your heart right. Because the Word of God, the Spirit of truth, is on its way. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, verse 25. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. He's making the distinction. But there standeth one among you, whom ye know not, He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth. I am not worthy to unloose. Now he says he comes with a baptism greater than that of water, is what John is telling us here. He said these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Translation, behold the overcomer. There's our victory. There he is. For this is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water, so that the way might be made, so that the word might be declared. He says, I have come baptizing with water, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And John bare record, verse 32, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this he is the Son of God. Amen. He says, how will we know? He says, because he will be coming by both water and by blood. And when he came by water, the Bible tells us here in John's account that the Spirit did indeed bear witness of him. The Spirit indeed bore witness of our Savior that Jesus Christ is our victory. And when he prepared to give himself for us, when he prepared to give himself for us, he assured us that his blood would be that cleansing power for us that would take away the sins of the whole world. So he came by water. We've seen that. Now we've seen it. John baptized him so that his ministry might be begun, so that we might know that this was indeed the Savior. And the Spirit bore witness of him. But what about the blood? Well, look in Luke chapter 22, and we'll see that blood. Luke 22, that's on page 774, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 22, beginning at verse number 14. Jesus assures us that his blood, that he would shed his blood, and his blood would cleanse us of all of our sins. Luke 22, verse 14, he says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Can I pause just a minute and tell you what he's saying? He says, my whole ministry has been about this very hour. Preparing to shed my blood for you. And you know, when you look at it from a human perspective, you know, if I had been given a task and I had been told that at the end of this task, you're going to have to give yourself, you're going to have to surrender, you're going to have to sacrifice yourself, I don't think that I would have been able to say that, you know, I've been looking forward to this day. You know, I've just been waiting on the moment that I could come here and I could be killed for people that I don't even know so that they might be saved. But Jesus says, I have desired this day. I've looked forward to this day because this is the beginning of the sacrifice that is going to save the whole world of their sins. He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. In verse 16, he says, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. This is the beginning of a great fast, that Christ was going to fast for you and I before he suffered on that cross. He was making himself spiritually ready to do what he really needed to do for us. And you know, he was always ready. He was always ready. But God was giving us a spiritual example. Maybe that would be a better way of putting it. Of what you and I needed to do in the times of great difficulties in our lives. And if Jesus had to fast and Jesus had to pray, then I think certainly it would not be an imposition on you and I that during times whereby we want to hear the voice of our God, that we would take time to fast and to pray. And the Bible says in verse 17, that he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. In verse 18, he says, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not just by water, but by water and blood. And he began to fast and pray for our salvation, that we might know the breadth and the length of his great love for us and the love that the Father has towards us. Then when he shed his blood for our sins, when he baptizes us with his blood, the Bible tells us yet again the Spirit was there to bear witness. Now when Jesus was crucified, we see all of these things come to pass and come to head all at once as we see the true message that Christ has for the believer and how we overcome in Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, page 729. Jesus is on the cross. His earthly ministry is coming to an end. He has been baptized with the water. He has declared that he will shed his blood for us. Now here he is on the cross, his blood streaming down that cross as he sacrificed himself for you and I. In Matthew 27, skip down to verse 50, here's what the Bible says. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. And now when the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, bore witness that Jesus in Christ indeed is the Son of God. He did indeed come in the earthly form. He did indeed come baptizing with water. And he did indeed shed his blood. And the Holy Spirit of God testified of this when the veil that had separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the tabernacle was just rent in two. And God said, enter into the Holy of Holies, all you who believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit testified of Jesus Christ when the graves were opened and people who were dead were raised from the dead and went into the holy city to praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit testified of him when that centurion who had been an unbeliever said, truly, this was the Son of God. But you know what? I believe the centurion got it wrong. He said, truly, this was the Son of God. I think what he really should have said is, truly, this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. Because he was only dead for a little while. And then he was raised as an overcomer. And that's my King. That's Jesus Christ. He came by water. He came by blood. And the Spirit of truth, it bore witness of him because the Spirit is truth. Jesus is our overcomer. He is our overcomer. Because of our faith. Because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Not only is he our overcomer, but he's also our Redeemer. Go back to 1 John chapter 5 in your bulletin again there. In verse 7, he says, For they are three that bear a record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, redemption has always been a part of God's plan. And I believe that he modeled our redemption after himself. First, let's look at who he is. Now, John reestablishes again who Jesus is. Who is he? He's God. All right. To shed a little bit more light on verse 7. Why don't we revisit John chapter 1. Go back over there for just one quick second. John chapter 1, verse 14. Just one verse. Page 779. We read beginning at verse 15. And actually, I read a little bit of 14. In John chapter 1, verse 14, he says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who is Jesus? He's God. He's God. Okay, and the Bible tells us here that we saw God, we dwelt with God, we beheld God, and his glory was as one who had to be God. Who else? And he was full of grace. And he brought to us so much truth. He told us things about ourselves that we did not know. This is who God is. But not everybody believed it then, and not everybody believes it now. But when Jesus was questioned, he made it very clear that there was but one way into God's glory, and that was through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Redeemer. Now, I want to show you that. Let's look in John chapter 8. We're going to spend a lot of time there. Page 787. When the scribes and the Pharisees doubted Jesus' testimony, he told them that he had another who would bear record that his testimony was true. He reminded them of their own practices, that they needed at least two people, that they needed a person and a witness in order to declare that a statement was true, that one could not accuse another, not without another witness. And Jesus used that in an effort to convince them that he had indeed come as a redeemer of the whole world. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." Now here they are looking into the very face of God himself, hearing the words of spirit and of truth. And they said, "You bear record of yourself." Now, this is the same Jesus who went into the temple. And when he read, the people said, "He reads with as one with so much authority. And how can he, as one who is so young? He writes as if he knows this stuff. He writes as if it is about him."
Amen.
And here these are saying, "You bear record of yourself. Come on, you have no witness." But Jesus answered, verse number 14, and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whether I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whether I go." He says, "You're so smart that you're stupid." That's today's translation. "You're so smart that you're stupid." He says, you're looking at the Son of God and you have no idea. He says, "You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." He says, "I am one with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." And I like God. God has a sense of humor. He has a great sense of humor. Here's an opportunity for God to show them. He says, "You're looking at one, but what you're looking at is two." He says here, he says, "Your law says you need two men as a testimony." In verse 18, he says, "I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." He says, there's your two right there, my Father and myself. "And then said they unto him, Where's your Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also." You know, they couldn't accept his Father's testimony either, because even though they were religious, I want you to remember, these were religious people. They had no idea who God was and no idea who his Son was. But their unbelief did not change who Jesus is. Now, he's still the Redeemer. And he was seeking to be the redeemer of the scribes and the Pharisees, even though they had no idea who he was. Now, let's walk a little bit more through John, over to John chapter 14, page 794. Again, Jesus said, "There are three, and we all agree." John recorded it. "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. We all agree." And Jesus was telling the people that the plan that he carried out was a great plan of redemption of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. John chapter 14, just a few verses, beginning at verse number 25. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." So there we go. Now that two becomes three. He says, "He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you." Now, what does that say to us? When we really look into the Word of God, he says, there will be no disagreement with the one that will follow after me. He says, the Father sent me, And as we read earlier, the Father did not give Jesus the truth in measure, but he gave it all to him. At one time, he says, now the Father, I'm going to go back to my Father, and the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit in my name. And the Holy Spirit, he's not going to have to guess at what I had said. The Holy Spirit is not going to contradict what I said. But the Holy Spirit is going to bring all things to remembrance, because we are all in agreement with what the commandments of God are for man. Let me tell you, this is something that I think that the church of today needs to grab on to, because there are so many talking about what the Holy Spirit has told them to do, and the Holy Spirit has made them to do, and it is contradictory to the Word of God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son are in agreement. That's what the Bible said. I'm not saying that. Now, verse number 27 of John 14 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God in three persons, the Trinity, is in agreement, has always been in agreement, that Jesus Christ would be not only our overcomer, but he would be our redeemer. And the Holy Spirit would dwell in the hearts of the believer to bring all truth to our remembrance. Now, God modeled our redemption after his person. He says there are three that bear witness in heaven, and there are three that bear witness in earth. Now that's what he says in look at your bulletin again, verse 7. He said there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They agree. And verse 8, he says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The Spirit, that's the calling or the drawing of all men to God. Now, we have to remember that redemption is God's idea. Now, it is only through the drawing of God that any of us are saved today. Because God saw fit that we might be saved. God drew us into himself. God revealed himself to us. And God says that is still his practice. That there are three that bear witness in the earth, and it all begins with the Spirit drawing men and women, boys and girls, to himself. Now, I want to pluck out just one quick verse from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we'll go right back to the book of John. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's on page 848. Now, I don't think we're doing this any injustice by plucking this one verse out. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's talking to them about spiritual gifts. And I do not think that we change the meaning of this verse by extracting this one verse out today. So we'll do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, regarding the Spirit of God, and that it is the Spirit of God that draws men to himself. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3 says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. This goes back to what we were saying before. That there is no contradiction between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And if anybody tells you that they're doing something that's contrary to the Word of God, then they are saying that Jesus is accursed. And no man speaking of God calleth Jesus accursed. That's what the Bible says. And it goes on to say, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that reveals to us who Jesus is. Now, our Savior, Jesus Christ, made the same point, and that was his mission, and that was his mission. His mission was that the world might be saved, that the world might be drawn to him, that the world might know that he is Lord by the calling of the Holy Ghost. Now, go back to John. I told you we were going to jump right back there. John chapter 12, page 792. Jesus knew that no one could come into the Father. That's why he said in John chapter 14, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He says, it's got to be through my drawing. It's got to be through me that you enter into a relationship with my Father. Here in John chapter 12, Jesus gives a great analogy of what he had to do in order to be the Redeemer of the whole world. In John chapter 12, beginning at verse number 23, he says, and Jesus answering them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, verse 24 is really about Christ. It's about Christ being our Redeemer. He says, here I stand alone. But when I die, when I give myself for this world, I'm going to bring forth much fruit.
Amen.
And we,
Amen.
Men and women, boys and girls, are the fruit that Jesus describes in this verse right here. We are alive because he died.
Amen.
In verse 26, he says, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Again he's saying, with much desire I've desired this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, the voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Translation, the Spirit was bearing witness of the Son of God in the earth. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit that bears witness of the Son. And it is the Spirit that begins the process of redemption in a lost and dying world. So he says it was the Spirit. First of all, and then he says it's by water. By water, by the baptism, by the cleansing, by the Word of God. Now, we're in John chapter 12. Flip over to 13, one page over probably in your pew Bibles, page 792. Same page. In John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1, now by the water. He says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments. Good grief, we got to go back to verse 3. Verse 3 says, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. That's the agreement of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one and they all agree. He says, and that he was come from God and he went to God. He rises from supper. And he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. How's he going to know hereafter, guys? Because the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, they are one and they agree. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, was going to bring all these things back to their remembrance. Here Jesus bows down at Peter's feet. And he says, are you going to wash my feet? And Peter said unto him in verse number 8, thou shalt never wash my feet. Because Peter saw him as a man of honor. That's the Son of God. But Peter obviously didn't understand Jesus' complete mission. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me.
Amen.
And then Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now he wanted a bath. He wanted a bath. You know, he's like, Lord, I want to be a part of you. He says, give all of you. Here, just do what you want. And Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywith. He says, all you need to do is to be cleansed by the water. That is Jesus Christ, and you are clean. But not all. But not all there meant that Judas Iscariot was still among them, and God knew exactly what he was going to do. So now we've seen how the Spirit bears witness. That the Spirit declared, this is my Son, he did it. Let his name be glorified, not for Jesus' sake, but for the sake of the people, so that they might understand the redemption, the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ. Then he says it was by the water. And Jesus told his disciples, I need to wash you. You need to be cleansed by the water. That is the outward expression of what's going on in your heart. And now he says it's got to also happen by the blood, because the three are in agreement. We read now. We've already read how Luke recorded that last Passover with Christ. How Christ said, it's with much desire that I've desired to have this Passover meal with you. I want to show you something in Matthew as he records the same thing, but just a little bit differently. Matthew chapter 26, page 727. Also the Passover, Matthew 26, starting at verse number 26. In Matthew 26:26, it says, and they were eating, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament. And look what he says here, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Shed for many for the remission of sins. What do we read over in Hebrews chapter 9? He says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Well, these three agree, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And they're in agreement with the three in heaven, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that we have been expecting, and that he is both our overcomer and our Redeemer. And through faith in him, we have the victory. We have the victory. Now let's close out in Hebrews chapter 9. Because it's important for us to know what to expect as we're waiting on the coming of our Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, page 888 in your pew Bibles. The beautiful thing for me about this particular passage of Scripture that we've been reading in 1 John chapter 5 is that God is showing us that redemption was always in his plan, that he patterned all things after what he had created in heaven. I believe that when God gave Moses the design of the temple, you know, in my heart, I believe we're going to see that design again when we get to glory. Because God told him exactly how it had to be, how it had to be laid out. But I think the difference is going to be when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any veil. And there's never going to have been a veil. And God's going to always want us to have been in the holiest places with him. Well, glory is going to be that holy place. We're going to be in a place whereby we can commune with him at all times. But in Hebrews chapter 9, it really supports that God has a pattern that he's following. And it says in verse number 23, it says, it was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ has once offered to bear the sins of many. Wow, that's right. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That is a wow. That's worthy of rereading. Verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, you know what you can expect? When you know Christ, what do you expect when you're expecting redemption from Christ? Well, verse number 28 puts it out there for you. Believing brothers and sisters, here's what you're to expect. Look for Christ. Look for him. And he shall appear, the Bible says. He's going to appear the second time. And he's not going to be a sin offering. But he is coming as our everlasting Savior. He's not coming to go back on the cross. But he's coming to rule and to reign in all of his glory and in all of his might to receive us unto himself. Amen. And amen. I'm expecting great things from God. We're just practicing for a victorious time in the Lord. Jesus, our overcomer. Jesus, our redeemer. Let's pray. Father, for the encouragement in your word, I'm thankful today. Lord, I'm looking forward to the day that you will appear the second time. Not as a sin offering, but as our everlasting Savior. Looking forward to the day, Lord, that you will claim us as your own. And we will see your plan of redemption suddenly come to pass. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of truth, as it reaches into the hearts of those who don't know Christ, will soften hearts. I pray that a place will be made in their hearts for the word and the work of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you save those who are lost so that they too might be able to one day see you, Lord, when you return. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to practice what we preach every single day. Help us, Lord, to be on fire, if I can put it that way, for our Savior. Help us, Lord, to be looking for that blessed hope. That blessed hope, Jesus Christ, and living for that blessed hope. Living victoriously so that the world who is without Christ might be able to see that there is truly victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. Lord, bless us as we seek to walk after you. Bless us as we seek to walk in your way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.